Hey, everybody. Good morning. It's Larry Jacobs, and welcome on the 14th of April, 2021, to Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. We got a wonderful show for you today. I've got my friends who I call the two Enas. That's right, the dynamic duo of Katrina Long Robinson and Christina Lambert. The two Enas are here, good friends of mine, and also my wonderful editor, our VP, our partner in the business here for the consortium, the one and only Maya Appleby. And we put together a nice show about women, inspiring women, K-12's role in teaching today's young women. We're going to spend a half hour with the ladies today, and I'm looking forward to it, to a show we're going to archive at ace-ed.org. The home website of our Consortium for Education. Our magazine is over there, ace-ed.org. We archive the show over there, and please go over, check it out. You'll really, really enjoy what we're doing, all about equity and access in today's pre-K-12 world. All right, it's going to be really good. I see I got both of you here. Katrina, are you there? Hurricane
I'm
Katrina?
I'm here.
Are you there, Hurricane Katrina?
I'm here.
Right. The ladies and gentlemen, the vice mayor of the city of Westlake, Florida, Katrina Long Robinson. How you doing today, Katrina, one of my Enas?
I am well. It is gorgeous and sunny South Florida and here down here where we are. So I'm feeling really good. Thanks,
Katrina, also, I assume Katrina also speaks for the Chamber of Commerce. Is that correct? No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Right. The other arena, Christina, how are you? Lambert.
Good morning, Larry. Thank you. I'm doing great. Thank you.
That's terrific. And I assume the weather, if it's nice in Westlake, I assume 3 miles up the road is nice in West Palm Beach as well.
Of course. Definitely a Chamber of Commerce day.
Good enough. And in West Palm Beach, that huge city, okay, which has a really nice airport, I might add, some great facilities. Christina Lambert is one of the city commissioners of West Palm Beach. Thank you very much, oh, Chamber of Commerce person. Okay, I appreciate that. It's a beautiful city, okay, a beautiful city. And your congressperson still Lois Frankel?
Yes, it is.
And Lois, one of my oldest friends who's passed away, Bill Brookman, okay, him and Lois grew up together. They knew each other when they were young, okay, and I've met her a couple of times, and I lived down there, so she's pretty cool. And she was the mayor of West Palm, and now she's a U.S. congressman, and whenever I think of her, I think of Bill. Okay, so it's really cool. I wanted to do the show. We got about a half hour to spend today, and I'm going to start off this way. There was a big article in the New York Times yesterday, and we're always talking about encouraging young ladies to get into STEM careers, as an example, science, technology, engineering, and math. And by the way, a lot of young ladies do become doctors and healthcare people. I think we're talking just beyond that right now, into just STEM careers. And the article in the New York Times said that it's been a rough year for women in science, okay, because they also have to be mommies, and it's a tough year for mommies, okay, with schools being closed and all that, and it's really been a rough year for women in STEM, all right, and I wanted to start off there, because one of the things K-12 education tries to do is get people ready for a career. We call it college and career ready, Katrina and Christina, and you know, it's hard. And just as I start off with that, you know, I'm going to ask you, because you two are STEM people, and, you know, you're not. But when you do not understand education, you understand the role of women and how difficult it is to be one, balancing jobs like you folks have, and career and all that sort of stuff, and family. So just I'm going to start off with Katrina, Hurricane Katrina. Okay, Hurricane Katrina Long Robinson, okay, who's an independent education consultant, by the way, at KLR. Consultant, you're welcome to talk about that. But Katrina, just talk about advising women on that balance these days. And, again, this has been a terrible year, okay, in a lot of regards. That's just another one. So you're on. Go ahead, Hurricane Katrina.
I appreciate it. First of all, that's a really good question. And to be perfectly honest, in my mature years, I still try to find a way to balance because as a woman and a female in leadership, and I have a lot of aspirations, I lead with a lot, Larry. And so I have tried to ensure that I say no and be intentional about my no. But one thing that I do is I try to, on Sundays, just make that a day of relaxation or fun for Katrina. So yeah. Monday through Saturday, it is, I'm constantly going and doing for people and balancing my elected official, my servant role, my
Madam Mayor, Madam Vice Mayor.
Consultant. Yeah, exactly. As well as going and meeting the need, going to events that people are asking me to maybe attend. But on Sunday, just hitting the off button where I am.
Good girl.
I am exactly who Katrina is before Vice Mayor, before I was an administrator in CSUSA, just having fun. So to be honest, like I say, I'm still balancing, trying to find balance sometime, if I be perfectly honest, but just being intentional, trying to give myself one day to hit reset and have fun. So that's kind of
Does that work out, my dear? Does that work out, ma'am?
Oh, I have fun on Sundays. I do.
Good.
The other end, I actually have hung out a couple of Sundays, so I try to make sure I have fun.
Good enough. That's great. And Christina Lambert, you're the, again, a West Palm Beach City Commissioner. You're the Managing Director of Productive Power. You're welcome to talk about that. Okay. And Christina, what about you, balancing work, family, et cetera? And in context with how we teach young ladies to do that.
Yeah, thanks so much, Larry. I think that's a very important conversation, and it's one that Katrina and I often have because of what she said about, I think women specifically tend to say yes more often, and we have a conversation that when you're saying yes to one thing, you're saying no to something else. And so on the flip side, when you say no to something, you're saying yes to something else. And so really intentionally setting those priorities ahead of time help you to make sure that, these other things don't creep into your life that maybe aren't as a high priority as others. And, your question and your reference to the New York Times article really made me think of a mantra, some advice that a previous mayor in West Palm Beach gave me, a very successful woman. She said, you can have it all. You just might not have it all at one time.
Ah,
and so, I think as young women looking up to other female role models, we think, they've accomplished everything and they've done it all at one time and maybe by themselves. And the truth is, it maybe happened in stages and it maybe happened with the help of some other amazing female leaders.
Yeah, and by the way, I want to ask you this, and I'm not sure you're accurate on this. I'm going to ask Katrina. I'm going to quote Christina and ask Christina. You said Christina said women tend to say yes. I assume more than guys do. Okay. In terms of I need you to do this. I need you to do that. Can you do this? Do you agree with that, Katrina? Women tend to say yes more. Well, that's something we need to teach young ladies to say no sometimes.
Say no, but I don't know.
You know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Yeah. I get you. I understand. I think that when I have something on my Facebook that when women show up, we win. And I think women like winning. And I know, we birth, especially when we're looking at other women, we like to win. And when I say winning, I'm not saying in a competitive type of way. But being able to accomplish goals and smash our goals makes us feel good. And we like feeling good, right? And so I think women, we have that extra push sometimes. And Christina, this is just me speaking on behalf of some women who I have surrounded myself with and women who I have grown who have been my mentors, like my mom. And so I've always seen women leading and being okay in their leadership roles, right? And so I do think women, we say yes more than men do. And so listen, sometimes for a lot of us, especially those who have been married or are married, we like to say that we get our husbands to where our men to where they are today. So
I wouldn't argue that. I'm married.
We get them to say yes, you know. So that's kind of my take on that. Christina, I don't know. Do you agree with that a little bit?
Oh, yeah, wholeheartedly, Katrina. And, I think about that, you know, women are typically, just as Larry mentioned, we're the moms. We're the ones, you know, going and volunteering at the schools. We're the ones who are also leading in the boardroom. We're the ones who are also, you know, now running for office. Forget the statistic, but, you know, the number of women who are now running for office is larger than it's ever been.
And they're winning, I might add, which brings me to my next question. Now, as we talk to young ladies, and again, you know, we're talking to teachers now, okay? You want to inspire young ladies, and it's so different from, I mean, when I'm trying to think back now. When I was in high school, most of the young ladies were not talking about careers in, like, medicine or anything, okay? And a lot of them were thinking of becoming teachers. And that's where most of the women that I knew became teachers, okay, and that sort of thing, all right? And it was a different world back then. Today, I hope the door is far more open than it was back then. Obviously, we can see that. I'll just go to the top with Kamala Harris, okay? So, you know, it's more of an open door, all right? But if you were talking to young ladies today in a school setting, where would you tell them to go? What kind of job would you say, or career would you say that they can do, while also keeping in mind there might be raising a family? Okay, it's hard. I mean, or better yet, what would you tell them to their future husband? My wife never told me any, gave me any lecture on this. So let's do the next generation. Okay, you know, that kind of a thing. Where should they go, and how should they balance? And I'll say the word again. How should they balance that? It's hard.
Well, Larry, I'd love to jump in on that.
By the way, you guys, I want to say it again. Katrina's the Westlake, Florida vice mayor, besides having a job. And Christina Lambert has a job and is also a West Palm Beach City Commissioner. Okay? That's up there. Okay, ladies, for both of you. So when you talk to young women, what do you say?
Well, Larry, you know, thank you for bringing up that we both have day jobs in addition to doing our civic, you know, duty of serving in office. You know, it definitely is about balance. It's about prioritization.
Yeah.
You know, but to answer this question about, you know, what field should young ladies be looking into, prior to my job at Productive Power, I was the CEO of the Education Foundation, and one of the areas that I liked to make sure we invested in was in STEM programs, and we would have summer camps where, you know, literally 10-year-old girls would be having drills in their hand, and they're creating computers.
Yeah.
They're creating robots.
Yeah,
they're creating automation. And, you know, I don't know that I didn't hold a drill in my hand probably until I was out of college. And so it's really wonderful to see these girls breaking the stereotypical jobs and roles. You know, I don't know how old you are, Larry, but, you know, when I went to school.
I'm older than you.
Let me put it this way.
Let me put it this way. Take both of your ages. I don't know how you are either. Add them together times two, and you're coming close.
Yeah, okay. Right, Larry.
Well, I'm proud to say that, you know, I did see a diversification in my schooling of women looking at different roles. I'll tell you, I have a master's degree in technology. I work for a technology firm now. But I, you know, while of course infrastructure, transportation, environmental and sustainability industries are what's, you know, going to be the future, and of course technology, I think what's most important is that we teach our kids to be curious and innovative, and that they're always learning, because the speed at which technology is growing is just, you know, exponentially getting faster.
Yeah. I like that. That's really good, Christina. I like that you said teaching learners to be innovative and I would say even reflective throughout their education and career. You know, there are five Cambridge attributes, and the ones Christina mentioned, as well as risk-taking, you know, innovative and being reflective. I'm actually working on an article now where we talk about education in the world of automation, right?
Talk about that. Feel free. Go on with that. Are we going to run that article?
Well,
is that for us? Is that for us, that article?
Yeah, I'm going to, yep, that's that.
Okay, good.
For
that's
you.
Over
and
at
so
our magazine, everybody, Equity and Access, over at ace-ed.org. Go ahead.
Yes, that article is for you guys. But where
Thanks.
We are now as educators, I'm no longer in the classroom. I used to be, but as educators, we're telling educators now, my advice to educators, I should say, is talking to children or youth about what it looks like to not go into a workplace, because we're seeing now, as Christina mentioned, a lot of technology taking over, right? Technology replacing many of our jobs. But what we know is someone will have to fix the technology, right, Christina? I think that...
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, and I think that that is the language now to talk to those young people. Back to that STEM question you had, Larry, encouraging young people to explore those sciences, the technology, the math, because we are going to be going into a world where your typical, you know, just think about in the parking garage in the beautiful city of West Palm Beach where Christina serves,
yep.
in several of their parking garages, it's an automatic machine now. Whereas it used to be, I'm aging myself, you know, people would work those machines to get out of the
That's
parking
right.
garage.
That's right. You're exactly right.
And so, but we're going to need, those machines will break. So we need people who will know
That's right.
how to go in and fix the machine. So that is a conversation that educators must start having. And I know I'm a black woman. We don't, in my culture, we don't talk a lot about or encourage a lot of times exploring the math, science, engineering and technology. And so those are conversations that we have to start having, especially among women. You know,
sure,
we don't talk enough to speak to women and girls about going into those fields. And so I'm excited to know where education is going, how we will shift. I think we saw that during COVID that we kind of, in our education system, we had some gaps. And so we realize that these are things we have to fill, and not only do that, but change our communication and conversation with our learners who we're empowering and inspiring and educating right now and moving forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask another, let me just say, go ahead, Christine. I'm sorry. Please, Ms. Lambert.
I was just going to say, thank you, Larry.
You're welcome.
I think Katrina hit the nail on the head, and, you know, the other piece of technology is, you know, we're seeing a lot of people who have Zoom fatigue right now with COVID.
I was just reading about that. I was just reading about that this morning. Yeah, you're right.
Right.
Especially women,
and
they said. Especially women, which I thought was interesting.
So I think the next phase of this, and women could probably be at the forefront of this, is thinking about how we can make more human-machine interaction more lifelike. And so I think that,
the
you know,
touch.
As
I hear you say it.
Exactly.
True.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's true.
Yep.
It's true. There's
wow.
Yeah, you know,
wow,
so
that's,
at my technology firm, there's 10 of us and 8 of us are women. So I think that says a lot.
Wow.
Wow.
You're the managing director.
Wow.
You're talking about productive power?
Wow. Yes. So we work with executives and professionals to help them to be more efficient with their technology so that they can actually use technology less. So the idea is you can add automation, you can learn shortcuts and macros and implement that so that you can step away from your computer and have more one-on-one interaction, have more work-life balance, have more, you know, time for you, reflective professional development time.
Cool. Are most of the executives you work with, are they men or women? Just off
anecdotally. That's interesting. You know, it's a lot of men, you know, because we do work with the C-suite, and I will say we're still seeing that dominated by men right now. But what's interesting is women really get the efficiency factor of it. And
yeah,
so they understand the value of their time more so than I think men do. And men tend to think, like, hey, I can figure this out. I know how to do this.
Oh, yeah.
Where women typically are not afraid to ask for help and to say, wait a minute, somebody else knows how to do this and they can teach me something? Sign me up.
And, of course, men never ask for directions, but we won't get into that, okay? I want to ask you both something. This is interesting. We're talking about moving young ladies, encouraging them into STEM, science, technology, engineering, math. There's another side to that coin, okay? And this is the way the future, I believe, is going to shake out. The world needs a service industry. You guys live in Florida. You know how hard it is to get a plumber, okay, or a carpenter, okay, or a roofer, okay? It's hard. It's hard up here. I live in Maine, but it's the same thing, okay? And the world's running short of those people, okay, in the trades, I'll call it that, okay, vocational trades, all right? Do you see women fitting into that? I do. Okay, and I don't think we're encouraging enough young women to even look at that, okay, as something that might be a career. It's not exactly a feminine career, but it's a great career, and there's good money, and I hate to say it, I know they're not specifically physically as strong as men, but to be an electrician or whatever, you're going to be working with a lot of people, okay, and there's tons of jobs out there. Your thoughts on my statement there. I'll go back to Katrina.
Absolutely. I you know, and I must admit I seldom have spoken with the young ladies who I have educated or who I have mentored at young ages from middle school to high school about going into plumbing or being an electrician or driving the forklift. However, it is a lucrative business.
They
can do it just as well as men, but I think...
Let me put it a different way. They can do it a hell of a lot better than me. Any of those things. They can do it a lot better than me.
Exactly. But, you know, and just to be transparent, I think that's something that's generational. You know, the women I was around never talked to me about getting into that. And I think that, again, changing our conversation to young people, to young women as well, and making sure we are leading and guiding them correctly. But I like I said, if I be fully transparent, I've never really encouraged girls. Christina, have you? I've never encouraged them to say, you could be a dynamic plumber. And I thank you, Larry, for saying that, because now I feel bad that I never did.
Don't feel bad. That wasn't the point. Don't feel bad. Don't feel guilty.
No, but it's a really interesting concept. We don't think that way.
We think of those as men's traits. We really do. And there's no reason for that, except the stereotype. That's all it is a stereotype.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, thank you for enlightening me and waking me up,
welcome.
Larry. That's good. Hey, so now I speak to young people all the time. Now I have something
else
to pour into them.
Yeah, you're very woke. Don't worry about that, okay? but you know, really, and I'll tell you something. If you ever look at a carpenter working or a plumber or anything, and you watch them figure out what to do, they are as solid as any given engineer. Okay, because they are literally engineering a fix. And it's so amazing when you take a minute and look at what they do. They don't think of it that way.
Right.
Okay? But right. I'm telling you, and we leave the girls out of that. And I think we're making a big mistake when we do that all the time. Okay? And we have just a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ladies, and you're going to come back on. We're going to have this conversation again in a few months. But I want to ask you both before we leave here. Okay? I want just give me two or three the women who inspired you, Christina and then Katrina.
Mm.
Christina.
You know, there are so many.
Besides Lois Frankel.
Of course, and I love seeing her around
Lois
our
Frankel.
Town, walking around West Palm Beach. But, you know, I would have to start with probably in my inner circle, my grandmother. Yeah. So my grandmother immigrated with her family from Mexico. She was a strong mama. She had, you know, three strong kids who, when they moved to Florida, they all spoke Spanish. And my grandfather was one of the first Hispanics hired at NASA, and he wanted his family to assimilate and to stop speaking Spanish. And so my grandmother, you know, made sure that our family felt, you know, comforted and welcome in the community. And I know that she dealt with a lot of adversity in doing that. And so she, I think, passed a lot on to me, because I was helped raised by my grandparents. My mom was a single mom, very young. So
that's cool. Hidden figure. If I met your grandpa, but that's
yes.
I just want to make sure because we're going to run out of time. Katrina, name first person who comes to mind. Hurricane Katrina.
You know what? I know it's going to. It's my mom. And I was just blessed to have a very strong, smart mom. My mom's mom passed at an early age, and my mom has 9 siblings. She's one of 10.
Wow.
And, my mom helped to raise her siblings. And even when she went off to college, she took off 1 year to go work in New York to send money home to her dad to help take care of the kids. And so she made their clothes. And she graduated with honors, went on to be over ESC in Palm Beach County School District, implementing a lot of programs in the district. She's actually still an advocate for students under that exceptional student education umbrella. And so my mom is just really, I was blessed to be able to have someone in my household who I could aspire just to lead and be like. And so she has some, she had big shoes for me to fill. I still haven't filled them, but, you know, I was blessed. But, I would have to say my mom.
Please don't sell yourself short, Madam Vice Mayor. Please don't sell yourself short. Okay, all right. You're part of her legacy. You know, when she helped create. Ladies, we got to go, but I love this conversation. So we're going to do more, and I think the next time we do it, I'm going to get your friend and mine, Maya Appleby, our editor, to join us. She's probably listening right now. She's going, please don't say that, Larry, but I'm going to do that. Okay?
Thank you, Larry. This has been great.
Oh, this was great. I loved it.
Yeah,
thank you for
inviting us.
Okay? I'd like to call you the two Enas, but you are the dynamic duo.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
You are
we
the
appreciate
dynamic
that.
Duo. Okay, and go to my favorite place down there and have a hamburger for me. That's the Waterway Cafe. I love the Waterway. Do you remember the Waterway Cafe? Do you know that place?
I do like Waterway.
Fun
spot.
I love the Waterway Cafe. Okay, so go have a hamburger and look at the boat.
There's new restaurants opening every day here, so we'd love to have you.
They have the big
again.
Outdoors. You know, they have an outdoor thing. I assume that's going to easily open and easy to partake in, okay, without fear,
definitely.
I hope. Yeah, so take care of yourselves. It's great to have you on the two Enas, okay? And I will talk to you again soon, I promise, okay?
Thank you so much, Larry.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Okay, have a good day. Enjoy that bad weather in Florida, okay?
We will.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Right. Yeah, bad weather in Florida. Right. Okay, the two Enas, Katrina Long Robinson, who's the City of Westlake, Florida Vice Mayor, and Christina Lambert, who's a West Palm Beach City Commissioner. They do some articles for us. Katrina's an educational consultant. Well, you heard Christina is the managing director of a company that consults executives called Productive Power. This is good stuff. Please share it. Okay, and we're going to have some articles from them in our magazine, et cetera, et cetera. They are just great. The show is going to be archived over at ace-head.org. Please go over there and enjoy what we do, our magazine, et cetera. It's all there, ace-head.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.